two Bible passages. Thank you.
What then we shall say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work but trust God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says, the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to him. And he is also the father of circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. The second reading is from the book of Psalms. It's Psalm 32 on page 560. Psalm 32 of David, a Maskil. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hands was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord and forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty water rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will conceal you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Your righteous, sing all you who are upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord.
So Psalm 32 on page 560, let's pray. May the words of my lips and the thoughts of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, Psalm 32 is full of good things. The blessing of forgiveness. How hiding the truth gives us pain, and we cannot hide the truth from God. Only in God is safety. Only in God is there right direction for life. And no doubt, David and those who followed him in the Old Testament church rejoiced in this psalm. And you know, we could probably even share it with a Muslim friend or someone else who believes in God and there is much in here that they would think is wonderful. But for me, it's a bit like the crown jewels. Those jewels are magnificent, such valuable treasures, but they really only belong to the king or the queen. They are great, wonderful to see, but they don't belong to me or to you. I mean, look at the last verse, verse 11. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. And which ones of us would that be? Which ones of us are righteous in God's eyes? None. Which ones of us are upright in heart? None. That's if we look at ourselves with wisdom. And of course, I'm talking about us without Christ. Now, I'm sure there are some people who think they are pretty good, not that bad. But I think if we knew our hearts, if we know our desires, if we know what we would do if we had only more chance, then surely none of us here this morning would say we are righteous in heart. And there is no reason at all for God to say to us, I forgive you. Why should God? To offer forgiveness is always a choice. Why should God choose to forgive us? Usually we've completely ignored God. We've decided what we think is right and acted even against our own consciences. And there is no reason at all for the Lord not to count our sins against us. Some people say, God always forgives sin. A German poet once said, of course God will forgive me, that's his job. But that's not true. We have no right to expect or receive forgiveness from God. By thought, word, and deed, we have provoked God's anger and indignation. If anything, it is God's job to be just and true, to rule and to judge and to condemn. So was it different for King David? How could he say this psalm? How could he believe this psalm? The people of the Old Testament had the law of God that judged them, but the law also provided for animal sacrifices for their sins. They had the high priest going each year into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for their sin. They had the scapegoat released into the wilderness, taking their sins away. And in the grace of God, those things worked for them. But you know, despite all those privileges, even in the Old Testament, they could never be truly clean. They could never be truly righteous, only until the next time they sinned. But someone might be thinking, how could some of them seem to know God even better than we do now? The Psalms are so full of true love for God. Because I think, though they may not have realized it, they were responding to Christ in those things. The sacrifices were pointing to Christ. The high priest was pointing to Christ. The scapegoat was pointing to Christ. They could respond to God's grace to them in Jesus Christ without fully understanding God was teaching them about Christ. They were believers in what Christ would do through what God had taught them. So here in this psalm, David realizes that openness about his sin to God was necessary. God would cover David's sin when David stopped covering his sin. David had tried to hide it, but actually he had to be honest to God. But we are not Old Testament Jews. We do not have all that God gave them. The temple and the sacrifices, they are all gone now, but they weren't ours anyway. it would be wrong for God to forgive us. It would be like saying to the courts and the juries and the judges and the prisons, let everybody go. Forgive everybody. Nothing matters. Oh, but we want to be forgiven. Our consciences condemn us. What we have of God's law in our hearts declares us guilty. Do we ever feel far from God? I hope we do. Then is it not obvious what we must do? What we must do is become a Christian. Then we can have a relationship with God through Christ that David had, but better. And to be honest, I do not think we can properly see the truth of Psalm 32 without Jesus Christ having been made man, having gone to the cross, and having risen from the dead. And our New Testament reading makes it clear that David was prophesying in this psalm about the way we could be forgiven. That might be good to look at that on page 1131, Romans chapter 3 and 4. There's a heading put by the editor on the top of page 1131, Righteousness through Faith. And chapter 3, verse 22 says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And then at the beginning of chapter 4, we've got Abraham as an example of someone who's declared righteous by faith. Abraham was an idol-worshipping pagan, but God made promises to him and his wife Sarah that their descendants would be more numerous than the sand on the shore. And for Abraham to get what God promised, he had to step out in faith. He didn't get the promise because he deserved it. He didn't work for it. The promise was God's gift to him. And by believing God's promise, Abraham was declared righteous. Here, in this chapter, Paul is trying to convince the Romans that all who believe in God, the God who raised Jesus from the dead, are, like Abraham, declared righteous. Because of what Jesus has done in his cross and resurrection, all people can be righteous by faith in him. And look, Paul quotes the psalm that we're looking at, verse 6, chapter 4. Verse 4, chapter 6. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. The blessing of being declared righteous comes by faith in Christ's death and resurrection. So we've got it on the authority of God's written word that David in Psalm 32 is talking about the righteousness we get by faith in Christ. The New Testament is telling us how to interpret Psalm 32. In trusting Christ, we don't just have our sins forgiven, we are declared righteous. We are false and full of sin. Christ is full of righteousness, but as we come to him, he gives us his righteousness. When I grew up, and probably most of you as well, classrooms all had something called a blackboard, and the teachers had boxes of chalk in different colors, though they mostly used white, and they wrote with chalk on the blackboard. They also had something called the duster. You didn't want the teacher throwing that at you. Well, sometimes it was someone's job to clean the board for the teacher with the duster, and the board would be wiped clean, ready for new work. Well, in Christ, it's not that the board is wiped clean. It is. But as well as being wiped clean, we are given the perfect righteousness of Christ. Not just wiped clean. we please God with all the beauty of Christ, not because we're a blank sheet. If we are in Christ, we are righteous. We are upright in heart. We can pray the psalm in Christ. So back to page 560 and Psalm 32. Because Christ has gone to the cross with your transgressions, verse 1, they are forgiven. Those times you stepped over the boundary of what was right, your deliberate sins, they're covered. God doesn't count them against you, but against himself. Even your deceitful spirit, Christ has paid for. So this is a real upgrade on the Old Testament. Christ has paid for our sins in the past, in the present, and in the future. So it's not just when we try to hide our sins from God but need to confess them. Imagine what it was like before we knew what Christ had done for us, but we were on the way, nearly a Christian, when God had begun to open our eyes. And we too were in spiritual agony then, like David here. We realized God's hand was heavy upon us. We felt like we were unable to do anything, as when exhausted by the heat. But though sin is powerful and heavy and drags us down, it is not more powerful than God. And as the Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness because of Christ. And so then verse 6, surely when the mighty waters rise, we will not be reached. In Christ, we are safe in the storm. He hides us safely. He protects us from the wrath we deserve. He delivers us from the darkness of Satan. He surrounds us with songs of deliverance. Supremely safe is our true place in Christ, though we often forget it or fail to realize it. And so, of course, we want to listen to David and to Christ speaking through David in verse 8 when he tells us, I will teach you in the way you should go. I mean, we may have been forgiven and saved and declared righteous, but that doesn't mean that God has instantaneously changed our character. We still have wayward desires living in us that want to send us the wrong way. But surely, because God has been so good and kind to us, we want to listen to his teaching. We want to go his way. It says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. We don't want to be brute beasts who just do as someone else says, controlled by forces we can do nothing about. I grew up in Australia, and it was a kind of rite of passage to have horse riding lessons. And to be honest, the horses we beginners got didn't pay a lot of attention to bit and bridle or kicks in the rump. If they wanted to eat, down went their heads. If they wanted not to join the rest of the class, that was that. But whether it was under a skilled rider or simply horsey self-will, don't let us be like those beasts. God is the one we want to and need to listen to. The beginning of verse 6 and the end of verse 10 mirror each other. If we are loyal to God, even amid many waters, he will surround us. Instead of the many woes of the wicked, God will be loyal to us and he will surround us. Be with Jesus. Know you are in him. You are perfectly righteous in him. Become like Jesus. Listen to his instruction and teaching. Don't be controlled by sin, the world, and the devil. Do what Jesus did. Rejoice in the Lord. Sing in the uprightness of heart that is his and he has given you. Do we feel far from God? In Christ, we never are. The joy of being in Jesus is part of the glory of this psalm, the forgiveness we didn't deserve. In Christ, we can look here at the gold and the jewels and know that they belong to us. And he's going to come now and help us pray, reflecting on this psalm.